This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Who would have thought that Hustler magazine publisher Larry Flint, that ambiguous figure in First Amendment lore, would become a major player in the impeachment story? As Ken Starr's investigation into the president's relationship with Monica Lewinsky heated up earlier this year, Flint took out a full-page ad in Washington, D.C. papers, offering $1 million to women who could prove they had adulterous affairs with members of Congress. Since then, Flint's team of investigators has been checking out these claims. Last Thursday, House Speaker-elect Bob Livingston said he knew his personal life was being investigated. He admitted to having had affairs, but said he wouldn't be intimidated. On Saturday, he announced he would resign from Congress. Late yesterday, we spoke with Larry Flint about his investigation and his motivation. Had you told Livingston that you were investigating his private life?
Yes, he was aware of it.
Did you want him to be aware of it?
Not particularly, but there were several sources involved, and I'm sure that they spoke with him.
And is his resignation an example of the kind of reaction you were looking for when you started this investigation? Is this what you wanted?
No. When I read the ad in the Washington Post offering up to $1 million for women to come forth that had had an adulterous affair with their congressman or senator, I only wanted to expose the hypocrisy that existed in Washington, and that if they were going to set on judgment on the president, then they should not have any skeletons in their closet.
A lot of people are surprised that if you had this information, you didn't publish it sooner to coincide with the impeachment hearings.
Well, we made a calculated decision. We ran the ad in the Post that anything that turned up from the ad would do everything in one expose. And considering that Livingston himself upstaged this on it, it was probably a bad decision. So since there are still some other members of Congress that are under investigation that we feel pretty confident about, we may rethink our position on how we're going to release the report.
Now, do these other congressmen that you're investigating know that you're trying to get dirt on them?
I can't say an absolute certainty that they do, but one of the last things that we do in an investigation is to contact the first person being accused to give them an opportunity to admit or deny.
And what's the difference to you whether somebody admits or denies? Do you go forward one way or the other? Does it change the tone of your article?
No, it doesn't change the tone of the article, because if we just feel it's only the right thing to do, because we're not going to approach them if we don't have the evidence.
So you're asking somebody to confirm or deny for purposes of truthfulness, so that for purposes of accuracy?
No, just to give them an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I realize that the landscape is changing on this form of investigation, because if someone makes an accusation, you can go with it, and then it's up to the party being accused to admit or deny. But I felt when I started out that I had to employ the highest standards of journalism in doing this investigation, because I didn't want people to dismiss it by saying, consider the source.
So what are you doing to fact check the allegations that women have sent in to you?
Well, I have two of the best investigative reporters in the country, and I also hired a firm in Washington, D.C. that is made up of all former FBI and CIA operatives who are assisting in the investigation, and they're working in anonymity. That was the only way I could get them to undertake the project.
The reporters are anonymous, too?
Yes.
Are you paying them a lot of money?
A lot of money.
So what's the response been so far to your ad?
We got over 2,000 calls within the first 10 days after we ran the ad, but most of those were all bogus or crank calls. we narrowed it down to 48 that we felt deserved the merit of an investigation, and then we've narrowed it down now to about 10 that is very active.
Now, how have you decided which congressman to... Is it congressmen and... Is it senators and people in the House?
Only one senator. Everybody else is House members except one high-ranking official in the Republican organization.
Now, are you using your own political feelings to prioritize who really gets the sternest investigation? In other words, for example, say there's somebody whose politics you agree with and who you feel also hasn't moralized sexually, but they've had affairs. Would you investigate them anyways?
Look, I'm the first to concede that I'm totally partisan in this issue. I just felt it was absurd in terms of what they're doing to the president or trying to do to the president. And, you know, I still think that people's sex lives should remain private, and I know that sounds like a paradox with me exposing the sex lives of people on the Hill. But, you know, desperate times require desperate measures, and Ken Starr and Henry Hyde got in the mud first. I just decided to jump in there with them. And it's not going to end until someone raises a white flag, because I'm going all the way on this.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of people have been using the term sexual McCarthyism, and obviously that's something that you would like to fight, but aren't you just kind of adding to it by investigating people's private lives like this?
Well, look what they did to the president. You know, I'm a big supporter of President Clinton's. I voted for him twice. I think he's done a good job as president. And those right-wing Republican bullies, they deserve everything they got coming to them, because they should not be setting in judgment on the president, you know, if they've got skeletons in their own closet.
Why did you first take out the ad offering to pay women for information about congressmen who had had adulterous affairs?
Well, I did that I did the exact same thing in 1976 after the Wayne Hayes Liz Ray debacle, where he had this girl on the payroll that didn't know how to type or answer the phone, you know. So this is not something new. I've been at this a quarter of a century. And I was basically just wanting to expose the hypocrisy in Washington. No one else was addressing this issue. I mean, the mainstream media has a lot of the same sort of information that I have. They don't deal with it unless they absolutely have to.
How do you know that the mainstream media has some of the same information?
Because I've got a very few people, quite a few people that are good friends of mine that I talk to on a regular basis.
And what kind
of... I have even got tips from people who can't get their own organization to go with the story, and they give it to me.
What kind of reaction have you gotten, though, from mainstream journalists? Have you heard from a lot of journalists who think that you are... doing something that's going to be very problematic, very bad for for journalism?
It cuts both ways. You know, some people see me as a smut peddler. I just like for them to call me Mr. Smut Peddler. And then there's other people that see me as doing something very courageous. So there's both sides of the coin.
Some people have wondered if the White House is behind or at least connected with your investigation. Any connection?
No way whatsoever. I get asked that in almost every interview, and I don't take my marching orders from the White House. I have no contacts inside the White House.
Are you leaking them any information?
Absolutely not, but they'll be getting a lot of it.
What do you mean they'll be getting a lot of it?
Well, there's more shoes to drop, and there's some big fish in there, too.
What's the status of your investigation now? What are your plans? How many more people are you looking into?
Well, we have approximately a dozen investigations that we believe very strongly in. And we're very close to wrapping them up now. So we're going to be making the decision on how the information is to be released.
Will it most likely be released in Hustler magazine, or are you thinking of other outlets?
Well, see, that's a problem. If it were the releases in Hustler, you know, we're working on the March issue now. So there's a thought among our people that that's too long, that we should just release it at a press conference and post it on the internet. But we're going to be we're going to be making that decision sometime this week.
So what's the soonest that you'll make the information available, do you think?
I would say within the next few days.
Okay. Just one last question. What's it like for you to suddenly be a player in one of the most important political stories of the century? Is this a role you'd ever envisioned for yourself?
Look, I've been shot, paralyzed, in prison, thrown in jail in the last 25 years for fighting for free expression, the First Amendment, and I consider this all, you know, just part of that battle.
Well, Larry Flint, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Jim.
Larry Flint is the publisher of Hustler magazine. We called Congressman Bob Livingston's office for a response, and his aide referred us to Livingston's public response last Thursday. We'll talk to ABC's senior congressional correspondent Linda Douglas about the ethics of Flint's investigation after a break. This is Fresh Air. Larry Flint says that he decided to expose the sexual hypocrisies of congressmen because the mainstream press was unwilling to do it, even though they had some of the same information he did. This morning, we called Linda Douglas, ABC's senior congressional correspondent, and asked for her reaction to Flint's investigation. Larry Flint says that members of the mainstream press have some of the information that he has, but they just wouldn't print it. And I'm wondering if you've had access to information about the private lives of congressmen that you are considering going with or have chosen not to go with.
Absolutely not. What mainstream reporters get most of the time are 15th-hand rumors, buzzes in the hallway, scuttlebutt, gossip, that sort of thing, the kinds of information that no good reporter should ever go with. I think the difference here is that we don't really take the time to check it out. I can't recall ever having made a series of phone calls to try to chase down a rumor about somebody's private life.
Larry Flint's point of view is some of the people in Congress are hypocrites. They are trying to force the president out of office because of his infidelities when these members of Congress have had infidelities themselves. So Larry Flint has taken on the job of exposing the hypocrisy. And I'm wondering if from your point of view, that argument holds, that these congressmen are being hypocrites and therefore the press ought to be revealing their infidelities.
Well, I think the first part is slightly correct, not totally correct, a little correct, and the second part isn't. That is that there is some hypocrisy on the part of members of Congress who criticize the president's morality with respect to infidelity, not other aspects of his morality. Does that mean that the hypocrisy is so relevant to the debate that we should be finding out which ones of them are hypocrites when it comes to infidelity? I think the answer there is no, because in the case of Clinton, what's really at issue with many of the journalists who covered Clinton all the way through his 92 campaign is the question of his candor, is the question of his honesty. That is as much a part of this issue that involving the president and the members as is the infidelity itself. Now, when you have a member of Congress who is a serial infidel, someone who regularly cheats on his wife and who then also represents himself as a Christian right conservative champion of family values, you have to think that through, because that is a hypocritical position for him to be taking. If he's a guy who is less than faithful in his private life but promotes faith in his public life, you are dealing with hypocrisy there.
You've said that people in the mainstream press had heard rumors about congressional affairs, maybe including Livingston's affairs, and decided not to pursue it. At least the people you know decided not to pursue it. Would there have been a point where if you had the information, you would have decided to pursue it?
Well, if Livingston, and I didn't personally hear rumors about Livingston, others of my colleagues did. We hear so many rumors in the hallways of the Capitol. I mean, you should just know that there's nothing unusual about this. There's just, you know, constant whispering going on about everything just because there's a lot of people here. But I suppose if Livingston had condemned President Clinton for infidelity and called him an immoral man because he cheated on his wife and had made an issue of that aspect of the story, then I think we would have to think pretty hard about finding out if he was being hypocritical. But most of the Republicans who attacked the president were aware that they would open themselves up to those kinds of investigations, and they were all very careful, and in fact, many of them deeply believe that this was not about the president's sex life. It was really about his truthfulness. And so then the question with Livingston is whether there was something he was lying about, whether it was infidelity or some other issue. If he's condemning the president for lying, is he lying about something too?
A lot of people would argue that even though the Republicans are saying this is about lying and it's not about sex, that the Starr report was so filled with sex and so filled with whose hand was where and what did they do with the cigar and, you know, did they complete the act and all of that, that it's disingenuous, some would say, to say this isn't about sex.
I think you're absolutely right, and that is why I felt compelled in my reporting to put some of the more graphic exchanges between the members of the Judiciary Committee into the stories I put on. This is about lying, but it is also about lying about sex. And the public is obviously making a judgment about that, and so I think it would be disingenuous of us as journalists to sidestep the substance of what the lie is about. Now, whether the Republicans are also taking the next step and condemning the president for cheating on his wife or for having this relationship with a woman who's younger, all of the sexual aspects of this, that doesn't... They've been very careful not to do that, so therefore pursuing them for hypocrisy in that area is a little questionable. But certainly we can't make the case that this, at the heart of this story about the president, is his sexual behavior with Monica Lewinsky.
Larry Flynt has paid people to come forward and give information about affairs they had, adulterous affairs they had, with members of Congress. Do you think that's going to affect your work?
Well, we do have a policy at ABC News where we don't pay anybody for news, and that should be the policy that is adhered to by every journalist. You cannot trust information that comes to you as a result of a payment. I mean, I feel the same way about police snitches in many ways and witnesses in court and expert witnesses and so forth. People who take money to give information to the public are not the most trustworthy people. So I don't think that aspect of his investigation will have anything to do with the way we report the story. I also don't think that his revelations, if they really do destroy a couple of public officials by the end of this siege of his in January, will encourage the rest of us to go out and snoop around into people's private lives. I think there still is the belief, you know, starting with Gary Hart and moving up till today, that it has to be something which affects the public actions of the public official, or it's really not relevant.
Now, you're saying that you wouldn't go with the type of information that Larry Flynt is beginning to make public now. On the other hand, Larry Flynt is planning on holding a press conference to make information public about other congressional investigations he has begun, with information he's ready to go public with about the sex lives of other congressmen. I imagine most of the mainstream press will be represented at that press conference, and that eventually they'll be publishing or going on the air with that information, even though they chose not to investigate it themselves.
Well, luckily, that's not a decision I'm going to have to make. That's going to be a decision that will be made by my bosses at ABC News. And I think it's going to be a tough decision. I don't know how we can avoid covering it, because it is going to be, as you say, a big story. On the other hand, do we destroy people's lives because Larry Flynt has taken money from informants and put it out there? He's claiming that it's true. He's claiming he's investigated it. But I'm not sure how we're going to handle that. I mean, that's really a decision that I luckily don't have to make. What I suspect may happen, though, and this is something I would have to deal with, is that, as Livingston did, some of these members will get wind of the fact that Hustler Magazine's Larry Flynt is about to identify them as infidels, and they'll come out and make public statements before Flynt even does his thing. That is probably something that we will have to deal with, because that will spark a reaction among that member's colleagues, and it might even cause a member to resign. So those kinds of things, I would certainly have to deal with those.
Linda Douglas is ABC News senior congressional correspondent. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.